This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
The recent hospitalization of U.S. Senator John Fetterman for treatment of clinical depression has put a spotlight on mental health. May is Mental Health Month, and Joe Geiger sat down for a conversation about mental health with Dr. Matthew Herford from the UPMC Health Plan. Joe?
Dr. Herford, mental health illness is a huge issue in our country. It seems like it's bigger now than any other time in history.
In our day-to-day lives, we may experience the normal range of human emotions, like sadness, joy. There may be times when we go through stressful life events, losing a loved one, job change, even happy things like birth of a child can be stressful. And our bodies react to that stress in lots of different ways. And most of the time, we get through it in a relatively brief period of time. And maybe we have a bad night's sleep, something like that. But we tend to come back to what feels like our normal selves. But when we don't, when things feel like they are not getting back to normal, that might be a sign that this could be a mental illness. For example, when people have really persistent feelings of sadness, hopelessness, or maybe even thoughts about hurting themselves, that can really suggest that this may have gone beyond normal grief or bereavement and entered into what we call clinical depression or major depression. Similarly, for things like anxiety, after people have experienced really stressful events, it's normal to feel anxious or stressed for a few days, maybe even a week after that. But if it starts to last longer and starts to interfere with things that we need to do in our day-to-day lives, like sleeping, eating, going to work or school, and just being able to enjoy the things that we normally enjoy in our lives, that can also be an indication. It's important to remind folks that in the same way that we wouldn't expect them to be able to diagnose diabetes or heart disease on their own, people shouldn't be expected to know the difference sometimes between normal stress, anxiety, or sadness, and mental illness. So that's why this month, during Mental Health Awareness Month in particular, we really want to encourage people to talk about their emotional and mental health and seek treatment. Talk to the doctor, talk to a therapist, if you have any questions at all about yourself or loved one's mental health.
Well, individuals may not even understand that they're experiencing mental health illness. What I'm aware of is that when mental health illness happens to someone, it doesn't just happen to them, it happens to the whole family. How can family members, friends, or other loved ones who may be struggling with your mental health illness intercede?
Well, friends and family and community are such an important part to our overall health and well-being. So I'm really glad that you've asked this question, because oftentimes it can be hard for us to diagnose ourselves. If we're going through a mental health challenge, we may just think, I'm going through a rough patch, or I need to just pull myself out of it. It's oftentimes our friends or family members that notice that we're just not ourselves. And so really important that if you're worried about somebody that you care about, that you start the conversation with them. You know, if you had a family member or a good friend that you hadn't seen in a while and came into the room limping, you wouldn't think twice about saying, hey, what's wrong with your leg? Well, when you notice that somebody's been crying a lot more, missing work, or not doing things that they would normally do, like their hobbies or spend time with their family, that's kind of the emotional equivalent of a limp. And it's our responsibility as somebody that, you know, loves and cares about our friends and family members to ask them about that.
Dr. Herford, do we see a growth in any segment of our age population in the United States with mental health illness? Are young kids having more of it than they used to? Is it older adults? Tell us about what your findings show.
It's a mixed bag. So there are some areas where we're making really terrific progress for some conditions at some ages. And there are others where, particularly over the last few years during the COVID pandemic, where we saw the trends moving in the wrong direction. So for years leading up to the COVID pandemic, we started to see some really good trends in terms of things like declining rates of suicide, declining rates of overdose, fatal overdose from drug or alcohol use, and the emotional health of our young people, students, children, adolescents. However, during the pandemic, not surprisingly, we saw some of that backslide. It affected people of all ages. So, for example, school-age children started to report poor mental health at a higher rate. Almost 30% of school-age children reporting that they had experienced poor mental health over the last year. Almost 25% have reported some suicidal thinking or considered suicide seriously. Somewhere around 3% were actually injured by a suicide attempt. When we go to the opposite end of the life cycle and talk about older Americans, we know that we're experiencing an epidemic of loneliness in the country. And we've learned a tremendous amount over, particularly over the last 10 years, about how much of a health concern loneliness is. It turns out that not having close friends and connections with family has a profoundly negative impact, not only on our emotional health, talking things like depression and anxiety, but also our physical health. Social loneliness increases the rates of Alzheimer's disease, cardiac disease, and stroke. So building healthy relationships and strengthening them not only supports our mental health, it also supports our physical health.
It seems like things are changing so rapidly culturally in this country as well. For our older adults, it's not the same country that they grew up in, where they never locked the door when they left the home. And then you go to the extreme of what's happening in our cities and so forth. I asked the question about age groups because younger people seem to have exposure to more things that we never had growing up, and older people having the exposure to the changes that are going on just can't feel good. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the pace of change, some of the things that you mentioned, is really significant. I think we can go back and say, you know, every generation experiences a real difference between what their experience growing up was and when they look at a younger generation. But there's something about what's happening, particularly over the last 10 years or so, where these trends really feel like they're accelerating. And I think the pandemic had a great deal to do with that. We lost a lot of the opportunities we had to engage with each other, build those healthy connections, not just with our friends and family, but with the community at large.
My guest is Dr. Matthew Harford, the president and CEO of UPMC's Community Care Behavioral Health Organization. Dr. Harford, I really appreciate you being a guest on the program to address this very, very important issue. And we could all use your resources and advice on this matter. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for having me, John.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.